Hercules. Ruth mentioned this morning about the gift of speaking, and just hit me. I realized that Hercules definitely, he's got that faith in me that I can speak in front of you, but amen. I'm growing. So I hope you can receive from me this morning. I believe it's something from God, and if you can't receive from me, receive from God this morning, please. And we're going to read a lot of scripture. It's a lot of scripture we're going to go through. Thanks for getting the slides really nice. I know there were some issues, but thanks. Yes, so we're going to talk about faith. Faith this morning. I'm going to try to get the TH properly pronounced. Faith. So by faith. It's going to be fun. So I hope you all are awake. And while we go through this, I hope that you would think about your own life, but also think about the city that's out there. You can see the skyline, and there's 9 million people living around us. And I believe God wants to move us to a place where we can walk by faith for the city. And we just intercession this morning. Hercules also mentioned about, you know, coming to God and so ask Him propose to Him what we are trusting for the city. So we say we want the city, we want people to be saved, but that's something we need to take to God. The same as we keep the walls of Jericho in mind. We're going to blow some shofars at the end, just as a proclamation. But see the city as almost like a Jericho, you know, that we also need to take in faith. And so, without further ado, I'm just amazed with what God has done the last year. I mean, I couldn't have stood here a year ago. I was very much mud on my face, wanting to run away, and God has done amazing work, and I'm just thankful for that. I think for all of us, we can testify that God is faithful and He heals. I think over the last 2-3 years, since we came to London, it's been a journey of going through different seasons of God's building, being one. And then I wrote a couple of them down here, actually. Known for Love was another one that we went through. And we went through a lot of practical principles of how to grow in love and how to build and how to be one. I hope you can recall some of those sermons. Actually, I went through some of my notes on my phone, and it's actually quite handy to just flick through all the sermons and the journey we went through and just be reminded of all of this. It's been really special the last 3 years. And I also started reflecting, and I realized I gave my heart to God when I was 13 years old. So 1999. And it's been almost 20 years. It's crazy to think, this journey has been, for me personally, it's been ongoing, and I'm looking forward to the next 20. So just thankful for God's faithfulness in that. So last week, Hercules actually mentioned about, we spoke about Joseph and the authority that he had to step into and overcome the challenges that he was in, and the actual anointing that was on his life, and the favor of God, that's the word, favor, that was with him. And he mentioned a couple of hindrances that hold us back. And just recapping a little bit. Hindrances that hold us back from actually walking in that favor of God. So we trust in God to overcome those hindrances this year, to walk in His favor. And on top of that, I think this morning's sermon is more just going back to the baseline, to the foundation, and that I believe it's a key for us to walk in God, what God is for us this year. So that's why I termed it the sermon by faith. It's a little bit distorted on the screen, yeah. Anyway, it was snapshot upon snapshot. I actually took this slides from one of Heinrich Titus's international leaders' sermon slides. I thought it was quite applicable, the mountain in the background, and I just thought, this is really, by faith we can move mountains. So anyway, keep that in the back of your mind. So we're not going to, obviously faith can be a very broad topic. I'm going to, it can be very out there. I'm just going to try to bring it back and just tie it into what is the outflow of faith and what is the result of faith. If we're going to put out our faith, just to get you all excited, I think Hebrews 11 is the scripture of the day, and I want to encourage you to go read it afterwards. Again, I'm just going to cover the first few verses because we don't have time for all of it. But the encouragement today is not to settle for a faith that will not save you. It's not just be a belief, an acceptance, that there's a God out there. And unfortunately, I've just realized this week, there's unfortunately in church, it's rampant where the devil comes with his plans on the sideline as well, So he tries to hold us back from our true purpose and calling and what God has installed for us. So he vaccinates us with a little portion of something, and it almost makes us resistant of the real thing. It's almost these flu jabs we get for the winter. You know, we get it and we think, yeah, we're going to be better off. But unfortunately, on the flip side of it, think of it as a positive thing. We get vaccinated with these almost religious spirits in a way, or even unbelief. You know, I'm trying to think about the positive thing of actually belief and faith is what we actually want. And unfortunately, because of unbelief in our hearts, often it holds us back. So I'm not saying all of us struggle with this. I'm really been convicted out of my own heart, the unbelief in my heart, and I've really had to repent a lot about that this week. So I'm going to give some opportunity really at the end to pray about this and take authority and say, Lord, we repent of unbelief in our hearts. We want to move forward, and it's a step of faith. So that's why I'm talking about faith. So anyway, moving on, that's just introduction. I really got this, just the idea of talking about faith, I guess, especially over December. I've been reading Hebrews. It's been really special because a lot of my family members, actually, I just put it on a WhatsApp group and said, I'm reading Hebrews, and they all said, yes, let's do it. And it was the first time really for even my mom to read Hebrews with me, or read the Bible with me in a systematic way. And the book of Hebrews was actually written to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem to encourage them during very difficult times of persecution and encourage them. I know some of you watched the movie the other day. It's called Paul or... Paul. Yes, I haven't watched that yet, but that was apparently quite a good reflection of how difficult life was. It wasn't easy. The way was a new thing, and people were killed for it. You know, I don't think we have a frame of reference for really how difficult it was in those days. But anyway, that was written to the Hebrews, I was just encouraged also just by the Gospels. There's a scripture, Luke 8:25, where Jesus calms the storm, and the disciples were just amazed. And he responded by saying to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" So natural elements of this planet obeying the voice of Jesus. And it just made me think that Jesus, you know, obviously his source was real, his faith was real, he was tied into something bigger than himself. Well, he was God, but it was that source of faith that I want to talk about, and just maybe quickly define what faith is. So Hebrews 11 verse 1, the Bible does it quite nicely when it summarizes the definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And it's especially this evidence not seen, it's the evidence that the world so needs. It's you know, and it will be reflected in our life. It's the evidence in our lives of our faith in Christ that the world so desperately needs at this stage. And that's what I want to challenge us on this morning. So faith is, you know, it's that hope in God. It's that substance that people don't necessarily can point the finger on, that we need to reflect. And it's only going to be in the church that they're going to see that. So just before I go further into what faith is, I just wanted to mention as well, like I was convicted of this because in a long time of my life, I thought I need to work for my salvation. And the thing is, faith is not about just doing a lot of things. We are justified by faith. We are accepted by God by the trust that we put in him. And that's just a bit of a mindset change. It's because we put our faith in God, the outflow of that will be the works. So the works come second. I'm trying to take one step back this morning and talk about what's the core of our heart, you know, our situation in our heart. And so we're justified by faith. There's one guy, Colin S. Smith, that I listened to this week. He summarized it quite nicely, taken from the verse in Galatians 2:16, which is not on the slides, but I'm going to read it. He says, "Justified by faith because faith unites us to Christ who justifies." So Christ is the one that justifies us because he represented our sins on the cross, and he made the way for us to be accepted by God. Just wanted to clarify that it's not by works that we are justified, but by faith. And maybe should quickly read the Galatians 2 verse 16. "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, just to recap on that, we're justified by faith because faith unites us to Christ, who justifies. So that was just a little on the sideline note, just to make sure that we understand that it's Jesus that paid the ultimate price for us. And he, because we believe in him, we're united with him, we are saved. So the saving faith, that's maybe something to just mention on the next point, is, you know, faith is united with Christ. I guess that leads into this point, is the saving faith is being united with Christ. And Paul actually uses two beautiful analogies in Romans, and I think the other one is in Ephesians. I'm going to read it for you. It's also not on the slides. I'm going to come to a lot of scriptures on the slides now, don't worry. But this is just to quickly run through. So the two analogies is crafted into like a branch into a tree, us being united with Christ, and the other one is like a marriage, like a bride and a groom becoming one at marriage. I think, you know, my marriage day was one of the most beautiful days in my life so far, and it's just amazing how two people can come together and say, we are going to spend the rest of our lives together. So anyway, Romans 11, like it speaks about, I'm saying Romans 11 because I want you to go read the whole chapter and even more around it, but it's really good reading. Just follow me while I'm reading. It's Romans 11, 19. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be crafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. He's talking about the Jews that were broken off because of their unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity. But for you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be crafted in. Crafted. Thank you. For God is able to craft them in again. I've been working on my pronunciation last night, if you can hear that. I've got a beautiful wife that helps me with that. And then, okay, so that's the branch. You know, when you think about like a branch without being connected to that root, that branch that stuck into Hercules' leg a while ago was not part of that tree. It was lying on the ground. It was broken off, and it was it was not a good place for it to be. It needs to be connected, not in Hercules' leg. It needs to be. We need to be connected to the tree of life. And that's the only point I wanted to make there. And then Ephesians 5, it mentions this analogy of the bride and the groom. I'm going to read it for you. Ephesians 5, verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband, like a living tree bearing fruit for others. And it just ties it in back to the tree, like a tree bearing much fruit for others. So if we become one with Christ, we tie it into the tree and we can bear much fruit. And I just thought that was really beautiful. And so unity with Christ is that is the faith that I'm talking about this morning. So it's the faith is the bond which unifies us. Martin Luther actually summarized it like this: faith unites the soul with Christ as a bride is united with her bridegroom. So faith is that bond. And to have faith, yes, there's a lot of steps that we can, you know, like things that we can do, like actually trusting in the word of God, because that is where his spoken word is, and we need to spend time obviously reading it, and there's ways to read it, and there's all these things we can do. But there's a stage in our life when we need to come and say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to put out my faith and go. And this is where we're going to go now. This comes back to the topic of this, the title of this sermon, is by faith we can do a lot of different things. If we're willing and we are able to lay ourselves down and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. And not just believe in you, I'm going to have faith. I want to be one with you. I want to be in unity with Christ. So the outflow of this faith is unity with Christ. I'm going to go through Hebrews 11 now. If you have your Bibles, go there, please. But actually, this is the scriptures that I've got on the on the slides. So in Hebrews 11, verse 3, I'm going to read. Let me read it. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed, but framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So by faith, we understand. We understand the mysteries of Christ. Like, creation is mind-boggling. I used to work in tourism and as a tour guide, spend a lot of time with animals, and I was just always amazed by the diversity of animals. Like, get the tiny little mites living at the bottom of a tree, and then you got that massive elephant, or you get the mite living on the elephant, and it's just mind-boggling. The creation, the detail of God's creativity, and that's just a little place down in the middle of the southern part of Africa, but then you got the planet, you got the universes, and you can just go on. But anyway, by faith, we will understand. And the next one is, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So by faith, we sacrifice. We are able to sacrifice. That's that outflow. We're able to sacrifice things that's beyond our own ability and deny ourselves. And when things get tough, I was just reminded earlier this week, actually Monday morning, things really turned chaotic at work. Like, I did something wrong, which I wasn't aware of, reporting-wise, data-wise. Somebody else used the data, and it went all the way to be signed off, and it all came back full circle. And I was, you know, I really got stressed because I realized there was a lot of people affected by what I did, but it was my first time, and I've learned a lot of lessons through it. But I just got so stressed, and I just, I had to also at that moment realize that I need to make a decision now how I'm going to react, because I can also, I can completely stress myself out, and, or I can be, let this be to God and just know that I'm also just a human being. And it was weird because at the afternoon after I walked out the building, there was a lady that had breast cancer, and she's been going through chemo, and it was amazing speaking to her and say, just putting my situation in perspective to hers, and just realized that, her stresses that she's been going through, facing life and death, has been so different from my little data era. And I was really encouraged by that. So that story didn't really tie into this point. Anyway, have grace on me. And we'll tie into the next one. Sorry, I know you're all looking at me weirdly. Anyway, but that was, yes, we'll get to that. Remember that story. So, okay, next one is, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God has taken him. That's amazing. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So by faith we please God. Next one. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for and saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So by faith we build. There's a lot of building that has happened in this church, and I think a lot of it has been done by faith. It's not a big ark in the middle of a forest, but it's an ark in this city, and we've been building, and we're going to keep on building. Amen. Next one. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to receive seed, as she bore a child when she was past the age. She was about, 100 years old? Is that right? Because he judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, because of his age as well, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is in the seashore. So by faith, we obey and take ventures into the unknown, led by God. It's just the headline. So if you go read Hebrews 11 again, you'll probably, these words just pop out like, by faith we obey. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Then going on, there's, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So by faith we walk in hope of a heavenly calling. Even the headline in the Bible in the chapter says heavenly calling. So we've got a by faith we have a hope that this world does not have and can't provide. So next one. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So by faith we bless and bring a blessing. That's the amazing thing about faith. It's beyond ourselves, it's beyond our own circumstances. You can receive blessings through it, and you can give blessing the same as Isaac did. Isaac did to his sons and the inheritance that was promised for them. And it came to pass. It's a long time ago, but that's what we base our faith on, the examples of these men of faith and women of faith. Next one is, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. It's interesting sometimes what the Bible puts in, leaning on the top of his staff. I don't know what that means at this stage. But by faith we worship. He worshipped God. Let me not get sidetracked. By faith we worship. Sometimes it's not easy to worship. I don't know how you sometimes feel. Coming to church on a Sunday in the middle of summer is not easy because it's such beautiful days after a long winter. But by faith we come to church and we come worship God because this is where we can meet the living God. That's just a small sacrifice to make. So that was just 8 examples of what happens by faith. By faith we can accomplish these things. That I can quickly recap if you missed one or two of them. But so it's by faith we understand. By faith we sacrifice or deny ourselves. By faith we can please God. By faith we build. By faith we obey. By faith we walk in hope of a heavenly calling. By faith we bless and bring a blessing. By faith we worship. And the list goes on. I promise you, if you go read the rest of Hebrews 11, you'll be amazed like what the men of faith went through. And please go read Hebrews 11. We don't have time for that now. Yes, I went through that quicker than I thought I would. During this week, when I was thinking about this faith topic, I was going down memory lane, and I was reminded of a cycle tour that I did with Shofar in 2005, December 2006, over that December-January holiday. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but Shofar used to do a 3,000-mile cycle trip around the borders of South Africa for 7 years in a row. And the man that led this was the man that planted Shofar in London, Andries and Lisa. I don't know who of you know them. They're back in South Africa now, but they used to come over from here to South Africa to do this. And there was men involved, like Hercules, even with the preparation of it before 1999 when it actually started. To lay out the route and to connect with all the churches along the way, because it was like 120 or 30 different cities to stay over every night, and all the churches got involved, other churches. We slept literally in the pews of churches in the evenings. So I was fortunate as a young 19-year-old to go on the 7th round of this Jericho March. It was a prayer march around the borders of the country. And it was a faith, it was a complete faith move, because even on that 7th year, the university said, listen, you guys are crazy. This is not, people that's never done this before, that's, you know, it's a trip for 6 weeks. It's even longer than the distance of the Tour de France. And you are expecting to cycle 100, 180 kilometers a day. And you want to, you know, just, you're just a bunch of amateurs and you're doing this. So they actually gave a couple of us, I didn't have that, but they had heart monitors, and they had to monitor everything they drank and eat. It was all scientific thing, anyway. But that was such a faith thing that the church put out, and it was a vision that Andries had, you know, to pray for the country and do this prayer march around the country and believe that the walls of the country will fall. There's actually a photo on one of the next slides. There we go. It was the only ones I could find, so it's also a bit distorted. But there we're praying in one of the church buildings, and then that's a typical day out with a support vehicle behind us, cycling. So it was 16 cyclists. I was, just to be honest, I was fortunate to go on this trip. So I was one of two guys that filled the 16th seat. So we had to share the 16th seat. We were the only two that haven't gone on previous trips. And Andres made an exception for us to go in. And so I was fortunate to be part of the support crew. So I drove the little van at the back one day, and then next day I was able to cycle. And it was amazing to be part of the journey. And I've probably learned the biggest lessons of my life on this trip. And I haven't spoken about this trip for a long time. Actually, this is the first time I ever speak publicly about this trip. But I just wanted to encourage you that this was something that Shofar did more than 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And a lot of things have come and gone in South Africa. There's a lot of healing that needs to take place because of the apartheid background. If you go watch the documentary, maybe I can post a link on even the WhatsApp group, but you can, it's a good 40-50 minute documentary that a lot of interviews from different people, and people really struggled, you know, with the past. And this was all about praying every day. You will stop, you know, after 100 kilometers you'll stop and you pray for 2-3 hours and blow the shofars every day and keep going. And 10 years later there was just after that, there was, some of you have heard of that, you know, there's evangelist Angus Buchan. He started doing these Mighty Men conferences. People, you know, men, 300,000 men would just come to his farm and come pray together. And that's men from all races coming together on his farm to just pitch the tents and pray for the country. And since then, it's escalated, I think, 2 years ago. There's the next slide. There was this prayer meeting. More than 1 million people just came across all over the country, right to the middle of nowhere, really, in the center of the country, to pray together for one day, just to pray for one day, no sleeping over, just one day praying. And that's for me, faith moves, guys. And that's just the country, South Africa. And I want to tie that back to us here in London and England. So by faith, what happened there was one step of obedience that you know, obviously there was a lot of people involved with organizing that, although that was organized within a couple of weeks, I think. Angus Buchan announced we're going to pray as a country together, and within a few weeks they had this thing set up. So it's not like the big music festival called Glastonbury, you know, that's been running for years and decades. That's, you know, it's a well-organized event. This was done within a couple of weeks. I was pretty amazed. It was by God's faithfulness. So God is doing amazing things in South Africa, but God is also doing amazing things in this country that we live in. And we've got to trust God for that. We've got to put our faith out this year. And I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon to think about, you know, what are we taking to God and say, Lord, I'm trusting you this year for this and this and this and this. And let's try to get specific and in our quiet time even. Like, there's people that are around you, for families, and then people at work. So yeah, we've got our individual situations that we all find ourselves in, but even as a bigger, you know, bigger picture, the church, let's put our faith out for this church for a bigger venue soon. We'll probably won't be able to have space for everyone, yeah. We'll have to find a new place, you know. But that's gonna be faith moves, the next steps. So this faith journey to cycle to Utrecht is another one. Some people have already taken faith moves to go do park runs yesterday. That's moving into unknown territory. So congratulations on you guys. But this is the key scripture. I think we've actually passed over that. Sorry, Nige. But 1 John 5:4, and I remember Andries reading this the day before this. Well, it was part of the main scriptures that he took along the whole 7 years of this tar track trip. But I remember there was quite a nervous thing when he gave everyone this mandate, you know, the day before we were supposed to depart on the 6 week trip. He emphasized the scripture. And I think everybody was a bit messy at that stage. I remember, like, I was so young in the real faith and not really understanding what this is all about, really. I was just going with that. I was just glad that I was on the team. But he was emphasizing that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So that's the solution. Whatever is born of God. 1 John 5:4 and the Amplified Version says, for everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. Sets it slightly different terms. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that conquered and overcame the world. Our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So God wants us to overcome, like Hercules preached about last week. He wants us to be victorious. And he's just putting out a bit of a challenge for us to have a continuing, persistent faith in Jesus Christ our God. So that comes back to the being tied with him in unity. And there's ways to walk in unity with Christ, but the first thing is to make a decision to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you on your word. My situation is not making sense to me, but I'm trusting you that you are in control, and I am immature, and I need to grow, and I'm willing to go, and I'm laying my life down, and I'm becoming a follower of Christ. And that's where life change. When we make those steps in our lives, that's when we say, if somebody gets saved, that's the biggest step in one's life, when you actually come to Christ and say, Lord, I need salvation. And then that's a massive step, and I think we underestimate the massive step that is for any individual to take. And it shouldn't be taken lightheartedly. Yeah, I'm getting excited. I hope you're also excited. Amen, I'm preaching. God is faithful, man. Yeah, so I'm really, let's trust God for the walls of Jericho to come down for the city, the walls of London. Spiritual walls, there's a lot of stuff here, but there's also amazing foundations of faith that's gone before us. Men of faith has walked these streets. And we can just build on that. But we're living in a time such as now. This is what Hercules also means in last week. We've got our challenges, but this is our time. This is our time to put our faith out. Same like the guys did in the past. Yes. So at the end of the day, people will be able to look at us and say, who is this Christ that's doing these different things? Who is that Christ that inspires this radical change in people's lives? And then they want to know who that Christ is. And that's when people give their lives to God and become saved. So this morning, I think there's a prayer of that we can pray to God, increase my faith because I'm struggling. But there's also a prayer of saying, Lord, increase our faith as a church, as a movement, for Europe, for England, for Europe. If it's Brexit or what, not Brexit, let's trust God for the nations. And even beyond that, we've got the whole Northern Hemisphere going. It's at least in the same. I don't know what I want to say. Yes. So, I'm going to close off there, actually. I'm not going to go on. Maybe we can all stand. Hope this encouraged you all a little bit, just to go meditate on Hebrews 11. Think about what faith means for you as a person, and also for us as a congregation, and think bigger so we can walk in this victory. Do you all have a song that we can sing? We want to experience that unity that like a bride and a bridegroom has, Father God, with you. We want to be able to romance with you, Father, in unity. And I thank you that we are part of your body, Lord, the church. And I thank you that your church is precious, Lord. Your body, it's precious, precious to be part of a family, Lord. That's your bride that you are coming back for, Lord. And I thank you that you are purifying all of us, Lord, so we can be ready for it, Lord. We can be ready for when you return. And while we're waiting, Lord, I thank you that our faith can grow stronger and stronger every day, and we can walk deeper and deeper into your fullness, and that by faith all these other things will be done, Lord. And by faith we will venture out into the unknown. We'll be able to worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. So please do come forward for prayer. If there's something on your heart that you need prayer for, don't hold back.